Hope y'all are all doing well this evening. As we get started tonight, I want to tell y'all a story. I think I might have told it in front of some of y'all before, but I just think about this story sometimes when I think about what it means to be ungrateful. You ever had someone give you something and just respond in what you now realize was completely the wrong way to respond to a gift from someone that cared about you? I remember, I'll never forget, I was probably 7, maybe 8 years old. My grandmother got me a shirt. I think it was for my birthday. And I'll tell y'all, at 7 or 8 years old, you might as well have gotten me a rock. Like, what am I supposed to do with that is my thought. I can't play with a shirt. You play in a shirt, but what good is this shirt? Didn't even have like a cool design on it. You know, it didn't have any dragons or cartoon characters. It was just a shirt. Yeah. At least if it gave me blue jeans, you know, those are tough. You can run through the woods in those, but just a nice shirt. And I'm sitting there, I open this up, and it's the only gift in front of me. It's just a gift my grandma has brought me. Everybody I love is in the room, and boy, my face just gets loud. You know, they can just all see the disappointment. And I think my grandma said something like, "What's wrong? You don't like it?" And I'm like, "Well, it's a shirt. What am I supposed to do with a shirt? This ain't no good." And I just remember seeing my poor grandma just sad, just heartbroken at how disappointed I am in this gift that she spent time picking out for me and cared so much about me to get, and my mama just looking like she's going to kill me later as soon as my grandma leaves because I've done hurt my grandma's feelings right in front of her. And, you know, later that day, my grandma's gone, I'm at home, and my mom sits me down, and she's good mom. You know, instead of just beating me left, right, and center, she just sits there, she looks at me, and she goes, "John, we need to talk about what you did today. You really hurt your grandma's feelings." And she explained to me that, you know, that was a kind gift born of love, and I have just thrown it back in her face, just been completely ungrateful. Of course, later I find my grandmother, and I try to convince her that I am very sorry, and this is a very nice gift, and, you know, I just wear that shirt all the time from that point forward. But I think sometimes about what it's like when we don't really understand what we have. We don't really understand the blessings that we have, the good things in life that we get to enjoy. And we kind of take things for granted. You know, we're continuing our study in Exodus. That's where we were. Oh, man, it's probably been like 3 or 4 weeks now at least since I preached on Sunday nights. But last time I did it, we were in Exodus. And we looked at Exodus chapters 15 through 17. You know, that section in Exodus where the Israelites are just grumbling in the wilderness. You know, nothing is good enough. We see several big events, but the two we're going to look at tonight is they have this problem involving bread and water. Now, the direct message of Exodus, really the end of chapter 15 through the beginning of chapter 17, is all about this ungratefulness. It's about how we shouldn't complain against the Lord and put him to the test as the Israelites do. But we've noticed throughout looking at Exodus, there's a lot here to this book. You know, there's a lot more than just what you might initially see. And so we're going to look again at this text and think about how the rest of the Bible talks about this moment in Exodus. It actually comes up a fair amount. God is showing through these events in the life of Israel how God's going to save his people one day through Christ as well, that they'll look back and they'll realize. These events in the history of Israel are used in the New Testament to demonstrate how Jesus is this new Moses, this better prophet, and how he is going to rescue the world from slavery, not slavery to Egypt like the Israelites, but slavery to sin. And there are two pictures given in chapter 16 and chapter 17. One, God provides bread from heaven for the people, and in another, God provides water for them. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 actually talks about this, indicates to his audience that these two things are worth remembering and looking at. He says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and going on to verse 4, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." That's a reference to Exodus 14 and 15 and onward as they follow the cloud of God's presence and they pass through the Red Sea.
And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Notice that the Apostle Paul says that Israel ate the same spiritual food that we eat as Christians, is the way he talks about it, and drank the same spiritual drink as us. So I want to examine that. What does Paul mean by that? How do we get that out of this text here in Exodus? I want us to think about what God is teaching us about these two miracles in the later part of the Bible and how they relate to Jesus. So the first place we're going to look at, and the place we're going to spend a lot of time tonight in addition to this text in Exodus, is actually John chapter 6. So if you want to kind of turn over there, it's got some things I think worth considering along with this text. So in John chapter 6, we see Jesus feeding the crowd of the 5,000. And if you'll notice in verse 14 of John chapter 6, how Jesus ends this whole thing, it says, "When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, 'Indeed, the prophet who is to come into the world.'" That's how they consider Jesus to be at this point. Jesus has fed them like Moses does in the wilderness back in Exodus 16. And they see that as a sign that Jesus is the prophet that Moses talks about at the end of Deuteronomy. He is this second coming, if you will, of Moses. Moses provided bread miraculously, and now Jesus is doing the same, and they make this connection. On the next day, the crowd comes to Jesus again, but they don't come to him for the right reasons, just like the Israelites following Moses in the wilderness struggled to find the right reasons to be listening to him. We see in verses 25 through 27 of John chapter 6, that they found him on the other side of the sea, and they said to him, "Rabbi, did you come here?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God has set God the Father has set his seal." So they come to Jesus to have easy food. They don't come to him because he's a prophet like Moses. And they ask Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 30 through 31. It says, they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." People are talking about this scene in Exodus chapter 16. And we see it in Exodus 16, verse 15. Like I said, I'm going to be hopping a little bit between these two parts of the Bible, but you can just stick your finger in one place if you want, and I'll read the other one. But he says in verse 15 of Exodus 16, that when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is this? For we did not know what it was." And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Jesus reminds them of this in verses 32 through 33 of John chapter 6, that it was God, not Moses, that fed the people of Israel, which is a thing they seem to get confused about sometimes as well when they're wandering through the wilderness. Jesus says in verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Notice that Jesus says the true bread that the Father gives is from heaven. It's he who comes down from heaven. And the people asked to receive this bread. You know, just like that woman back at the well who wants the living water, they want to receive this heavenly bread. And Jesus says to them in John 6, verse 35, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." And they understand exactly what Jesus is saying. We see in verse 41 through 42, John 6, it says, "The Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven?'" So I want us to see the connection that is happening here. In Exodus 16, what happens? The people of Israel grumble against Moses for bread. What is happening now? These Jewish people are grumbling against Jesus, who is this new Moses, when he is the bread that comes down from heaven. Just as they grumble against Moses, they're grumbling against Jesus. And Jesus makes that same connection right there to them, starting in verses 43 through 51 of John chapter 6. Jesus answered them, "Don't grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I'll raise him up on the last day. It's written in the prophets. They'll all be taught by God. Everyone who heard and has learned from the Father comes to me. If anyone sees the Father except he who is from God, he has seen not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. But I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus says their ancestors ate this manna in the wilderness and they died. Why did the Israelites die in the wilderness when God provided them with bread from heaven? You know, obviously many of them died from time, but there were many Israelites, and I think this is the point Jesus is making, who actually died after eating this bread because they did not trust the command God gave them about how to do this. They died in the wilderness because they did not believe. They didn't believe that God would provide. They didn't believe that God was going to take care of them exactly like he said he was going to in Exodus 16. They grumble and they complain against God. And Jesus says that if one eats the living bread that comes down from heaven, talking about himself, his flesh, then he'll live forever and he'll be given life. In verse 40, he tells them, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, that I'll raise him up in the last day." This is why he says in verses 43 through 45 of John 6, like we read, not to grumble among themselves, but that they can only come to God if God's drawn them to him. And now he's going to raise them up. It's written in the prophets, they're going to be taught by God. Everyone who's heard and learned from the Father comes to me, he says. Jesus tells them not to grumble because the problem is the same. They've not heard and learned from the Father, so they're not coming to Jesus. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws that person. And that person is drawn to Jesus by the Father and being taught by God, hearing and learning from him. Israel failed at this listening to God in their own time in the wilderness back in Exodus 16. And Israel fails again at this in the time of Jesus. And what is being pictured in the days of Moses is that God's going to provide bread to give people life. But the people don't believe God. They don't trust him that he's going to actually take care of them. And they rebel against him. And they do the same thing with Jesus. Jesus comes and declares that he's the one who gives life. But they don't believe him and they perish for that lack of faith. John 3, chapter 6, or verses 16 through 18, one of the most well-known sections of the Bible, really gets after this same idea. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So Jesus in John chapter 6 takes this same story that we see in Exodus 16, this story about the people who don't trust God when he gives them all that they need in the wilderness. And he says, this is still a problem today. God's given you all that you need. I'm right here with you, and you still don't trust him. And I read it, and I think, man, sometimes I think I might be that exact same way. God's given me what I need right here. He's given me all I need to know about Jesus, and sometimes I still struggle to trust him. But we see this second story in Exodus. We saw in chapter 16, there's this manna from heaven. But then in chapter 17, they get water from a rock. It says, all the congregation, starting in verse 1 of chapter 17 of Exodus, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses, and they said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" The people thirsted there for water. They grumbled against Moses and said, "Why'd you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. You'll strike the rock, and water shall come out of it. The people will drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And they called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So this other scene here has to do with this water. Do the people believe about whether or not God's actually with them? Is God going to provide for them? We see that he does. He gives them water from a rock in the middle of the desert. I mean, that's providing. But in the New Testament, they also talk about this story in the Gospel of John. He talks about this in John chapter 4. Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well, and they're talking about water. And it says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." The water that Jesus offers is going to cause a person not to be thirsty again. In fact, it's going to be a spring of water welling up in them to eternal life. He offers water that gives life. And he uses this image again in John chapter 7. On the last day of the feast, starting in verse 37 of John chapter 7, on to verse 39, it says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me for drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' He said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." There's all these pictures in the New Testament, this idea of water and Jesus as the living water that flows to bring eternal life to those that come to him. And Paul picks up on this too in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We looked at this passage at the beginning, but I want to go back to it. It says, "For I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. They were all passing through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." This rock that the Israelites drank from, that Paul says that was Christ. That was the source of their living water. Now, the idea is not that the physical rock that Moses struck was actually the physical body of Jesus, nor is the idea that the Israelites wandered around in the wilderness carrying this water-giving rock with them. Paul says that the spiritual rock followed them. And I think the point Paul is trying to make is that Christ is the provider of life. And when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness, they had God with them. He was the provider of water. He was the provider of life. And they rejected him. And they did not trust him to give them what they needed. They grumbled and they complained. Remember what they said in verse 7 of chapter 17 that we read a little earlier. And this question is just amazing to me. They've got the cloud of God's presence. They've seen him part the sea. They've seen him give them bread from heaven. And in verse 7 of chapter 17, they say, "Get the Lord, come out, prove. Is the Lord among us or not?" Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, tells us they should have known. God was there with them. The Lord was with them in the wilderness. They had Christ, the giver of life, with them. But they didn't know it. They didn't believe. They had life offered to them. They had bread from heaven. They had water from the rock. And nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness, as Paul puts it in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's so easy to read about the nation of Israel and to be stunned that they had all these privileges and all these advantages. You know, they had God right there with them. They could go to the temple and sacrifice. They could saw the very presence of God guiding them through the wilderness in this form of a cloud. They walked through the Red Sea parted. It's easy to look at them and just be shocked that so many of them wound up dying in the desert with absolutely no faith in God. But Paul's point, along with many of the other writers of the New Testament, is that we've got those same advantages, and in fact, we've got even more. And yet we do the same thing sometimes. We say they had bread fall from heaven every day. How could they not believe in the Lord and trust Him? But Jesus is the bread from heaven, and we have Him every day in our lives. Every Sunday, we get around and we remember Jesus' body as that bread from heaven. But we don't trust the Lord fully sometimes. We say that they had water come out of the rock so they could drink and live. How could they not believe in the Lord and trust in Him? But Jesus is this rock that living water flows from to us. And yet sometimes we don't trust Him. God is providing for us through this wilderness that we walk through on our way to that promised land that is heaven. And so I want you to think tonight, do you trust Him to be there for you when you need Him? You know, I think just like I was saying with my grandma on that shirt, sometimes we don't really realize what we've got. We don't really realize how blessed we are to live in a time where we've got these Bibles, we've got this easy access to all the knowledge of God and godliness and life and this perfect Word. And if we're in that Word, we're looking at it, we're going to see that there's living water there, all that we need. There's this bread of life that can sustain us in any difficulty. And sometimes we take that for granted. And so I think this week, my goal for myself is to think about that some more, to maybe take that a little less for granted. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Trust in God. Remember Him when your steps falter, when you struggle. And put your trust in Him. I don't know what your struggle might be this week. Maybe you feel like God's brought you out into this wilderness of difficulty just to kill you. That's how the Israelites felt. Maybe you feel like He never gives you what you want, never gives you what you need, and you just feel like He doesn't care. Well, if that's the case, I hope you'll think about His Word, think about what He said, and maybe think a little more about your circumstances. Maybe see that He loves you. If you need any prayer tonight, if you need any encouragement, maybe you aren't a Christian, you need to become one. If you have any of those kinds of needs tonight, we'll be happy to help you in any way we can as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, do not let the Word depart and close thine eyes against the light.